It's time for the truth. Will you join me in this study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in the second chapter, and we're going to be finishing up with the church of Smyrna. But the study today will begin reading with the 11th verse, but we're going to read the church of Pergamos, which is going to start with the 12th verse of chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 11. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And we can probably back up and do a little bit more review. Let's go ahead and read verse 10 and 11, and then we'll go on into Pergamos. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was an faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give them a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now that was the church of Pergamos and the finishing of the church of Smyrna. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time together. I just ask that you will guide and lead us through this study, that you will be honored and glorified because of it. I hope that folks that do not know you as their Savior will be saved today. They will come to the cross of Calvary and trust in you as their Savior. Please, dear Lord, that not one person that's listening to the program today would leave today without being born again. That personal relationship, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. What a wonderful opportunity. So please, please, Father, touch every heart. Grow us. Show us your way and will as we study through these seven churches. And now to finish the second and on to the third, just guide and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To look at these verses of Scripture, you know, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have your tribulation 10 days. What a terrible situation that these believers were in. What a miserable world that we live in, that anyone would hate or deny God, and yet the world is full of folks that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not want to serve Him nor praise Him, and they choose to live their own life separated from Him. They just as soon live with the ungodly, and be with them, well, they better enjoy themselves here and now, because that's the only joy they're going to have. My joy is going to be after this life is over. This life is just a short vapor, and that's all it is. And so you better get all the excitement out of today if you're not looking forward to tomorrow, because if tomorrow comes and the Lord Jesus comes, takes his church away, or if you die and your destiny is already set. Some teach that, you know, you have enough money or you can pray enough, but then you can pray yourself on up into heaven. That's not so. Don't depend upon that. That's man's principle and idea. The decision is made the second that you die. And so either you're going to go to heaven or to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want them to face that. I don't have an enemy that has hurt me or hurt my family or anything. I don't hate them enough that I would want anyone to ever spend eternity in hell. And yet I know that many, many will. This little church of Smyrna was a poor, poor church. They were poor financially, but they were very rich spiritually. And so Smyrna, as Philadelphia, is the churches that God has no rebuke against. And as we continue to kind of look at this, and let's just kind of take some time here and review and look at verse 9. Sometimes the more the tribulation, the closer we get to the Lord. There are seven things which the Lord praises. I know thy works, tribulation, poverty. And so this tribulation here is the first thing that he lists here in the ninth verse. Trouble, much trouble. We have poverty, and is the second one. I know thy works, thy tribulation, thy poverty is number two. They were poor, very, very poor, but rich spiritually, very, very wealthy when it come right down to it. The third is blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. And so they are but of the synagogue of Satan, the scripture says here. Jew is only a real or true Jew if they believe in Jesus Christ. You can be a member of the greatest church, the most evangelistic church in all the world, in all the ages. But if you fail personally to come by faith to Jesus Christ, then you are of the synagogue of Satan. You are not a Christian. I don't care how much work, how much money, how much things you have done. It is a personal relationship you need with Jesus Christ. And so please ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you today. Many, many Jews stand on name only. And that was the case here. And many today stand on the name Christian only. They are not Christian. They just stand and they say they're Christian. But when it comes right down to it, they are not born again. And that's going to be a sad, sad day to have said they were Christians, acted like Christians, worked hard as Christians, but they neglected that one thing, and that's to trust in Jesus as their Savior. Number four, we find down in verse 10. And so number one was in verse 9, tribulation. Number two was in 9, poverty. Number three, blaspheme, the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. That was number three. And now number four, it says, fear none of these things. You know, when we look at this opportunity here, they faced tribulation, but it drove them to Christ. They faced poverty, but it drove them to Christ. They saw the blasphemy and the folks that said they were Christians, or in this case Jews, but they were not. That did not take away their faith. That drew them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here in verse 4, fear none of those things. And so this is the word of the Lord, words of encouragement. All that comes in the midst of all this persecution, words of encouragement. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't fear any of them. And I ask you to do the same thing. Fear none of them. Walk each and every day serving and praising the Lord. Number five is the devil or Satan shall cast some of you into prison. You're going to have to face that. We tend to blame things on people, but Jesus goes right to the root of the problem, because it wasn't Satan himself with his pitchfork and his horns and his tail grabbing a hold of these people that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and throw them in prison. It was people that did it. And so you see, we hold people responsible when it's not people at all. Yes, they have made a choice and a decision, but it's the devil that has driven that. And so as we look at that fifth point there, Jesus himself goes right to the problem. You know, yes, we have a decision. But when somebody tells you that, you know, don't blame everything on Satan, Jesus went right to it. He went right to the source. And yes, we have a choice, and we need to make a good choice, and that is trusting the Lord Jesus. But if we choose not to, then we have the opportunity, if we've come by faith, even if we choose to serve the world for a period of time, we just come back and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us. And come with a repentant heart, and please, Jesus, forgive me and bring me back into fellowship. And he will, he does. It's wonderful. Number six we have here, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. That is right in the center of the 10th verse there. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now those 10 days, there were 10 intense periods of persecution. And so when we think of a day, we think of a 24-hour period. But here it's actually it's more than that. It is a period of time, and it's a period of persecution. And it was under 10 Roman emperors, starting in 64 and ending in the year 313. There were some of the most horrible, most terrifying emperors in that time. They were all Roman emperors, and there were 10 of them. So 10 periods of time, and those 10 periods of time represent 10 emperors. And then the seventh. The seventh we come, and we says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. They were going to be martyrs for the Lord Jesus. For that, they will receive a crown of life. If you are suffering for Christ's sake, you can hold to the words of Jesus, because he says, I know. He knows what you're doing in service and maybe what somebody else isn't doing. He knows how somebody else is not telling the truth about you and not making good decisions. He knows. And so he tells us here, I know. And it is wonderful as we look at that and see back in the beginning of verse 9, it starts with the title of that, I know. I know what's going on. And so since I know what's going on, I'm just going to ask you to trust me. And we need to do just that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You've heard me say different times, and I will continue to say it. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. And let me explain that. You're physically born, and then you need to be born again. And if you're born again, you may just have to face a physical death, and may not even face that, but only a physical death and not a spiritual death. But if you choose to just be born physically and you reject the idea, you reject the teaching of the Word of God that you must come by faith to Jesus and be born again a second time, then you will die a physical death and a spiritual death, a second death. And that's what they're talking about here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Of the second death. We need not to follow these false Jews. We need not to be turned away because of the tribulation and not come by faith to Jesus. But you come by faith to Jesus and you won't have to face that second death. What a wonderful promise and wonderful hope that we have. Now, the church of Ephesus, As we look back, they had a rebuke, because thou hast left thy first love. Church of Smyrna, and that was the date from 30 to 300, was that church age. The next starts in the area of 100 and goes to 313. It says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Some of the great things that he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Remember, at all of the seven churches, we find an introduction from the one that's speaking. Each time, all seven times, we hear the word, I know, because he does. And each one of the times we're going to hear the other words, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So you see, the opportunity is there. Will you listen? That's the question. Will you listen? That is the question. And I hope today that you'll listen. If you have never listened before, I hope today that you listen and you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Now we come to the third church, the Church of Pergamos. This is found from 314 to 590. Is that church period. Just a little bit of information. The word Pergamos means marriage. And the sad thing is that this is a compromising church. They wed with the world. The church is settled into the world, or the world into the church, we're not sure which. But either way, it's not good. And today we have certainly seen the same thing. As I have said, all seven of these churches were literal churches, physical churches at the time that John was seeing them. And so we have those examples. And then they have also seven church ages. And so there was a period of time when what doctrine that they held to was very, very evident in the world as far as the church, the true church, is concerned. Ephesus lost their first love. Smyrna went through a great time of tribulation because they stayed true. And now Pergamos, we find that they're going to just kind of try to get along. And today, a good term, we're going to be PC. We're going to be politically correct. Well, you cannot be politically correct and follow the Word of God. So I don't know what that does to your church or to your thinking, but if you're trying to be perfectly politically correct, you are going to stand against the Word of God over and over and over again. So I ask you to consider that. Smyrna was about 40 miles north of Ephesus, and Pergamos is still a little further north than that. Pergamos had little or no commerce, but they went towards the learning, and they had great institutions of learning. Those institutions of learning we find to be in science and in medicine. And so that's what we have here. Pergamos had a library that consisted of over 200,000 books. And so it was quite a city of learning. And again, commerce was not something, it was different than the other two. Wasn't something of much specialty there. Pergamos mastered the art of curing skins for writing. And the word parchment is derived from that process. Ephesus and Smyrna were evil and wicked cities. Sometimes it crept into the church with Ephesus, lost their first love. Smyrna did not. But both were strong cities of idol worship, of idolatry. And Pergamos was even worse than either one of those cities. It was known, according to the scripture here, as Satan's throne the Satan's seat in verse 13. Satan's seat. And so we have the dwelling place of Satan. That's in the end of verse 13. 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And at the end of that verse, where Satan dwelleth. In this city was, and I probably will not pronounce it correctly, but it was Aesculapius, and it was a wreathed serpent. And, of course, behind this serpent was nothing other than Satan, the old serpent. But this idol that they had is what they worshipped in the temple. And they used this idol to the worship of healing. This idol that was in the temple clearly and totally took God's place. Verse 12, to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he that hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What a glorious, powerful description of our Christ. Again, an introduction. While here he is said to have a sharp two-edged sword, this sword is a symbol of judgment. The sword proceeds out of his mouth, the sword that proceeds out of his mouth is none other than the Word of God. And we need to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Back in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, the Word of God. I know thy works, where thou dwellest. We will be judged by the Word of God. The Word of God tells us to be born again. The Word of God tells us how to live, how to have life. And if you reject that, ignore that, there's only one other choice, and that choice is judgment. We have once again these words, I know thy works. I know where thou dwellest, he tells us here. Some of the greatest persecution came from a time period of 249 and up until 284, which was a little earlier. Satan attempted to destroy Christianity from outside. That's what he tried to do with the church of Smyrna. But he failed. So he went about to move in to the church and destroy it from within. You see, the old devil kind of uses the same tricks all the time. But he is smart. And he recognized that when he tried to destroy it from the outside, it didn't work. I'm going to have to get inside. Because as long as they stay together, and that's the reason that you find that today, when we face in this country a loss of our freedom and a movement of socialism, of movement that takes us away from freedom. One thing that the old devil wants to do, and that's take away the opportunity to worship and praise God together. He's got to remove that fellowship. The church of Smyrna, even though they were small and they were poor, they were close-knit and they stayed together and they grew and was growing in their spiritual lives. Now we find that within the church, religion and religious men were used to, they're beginning to do the work of Satan. They're beginning to say that religion is enough. People would say, you know, that individual's religious. You tell me that, that's an insult. That's an insult. I'm not religious. I'm a Christian. I follow the Word of God. But today, Satan has come in and he has coerced religions and religious people to compromise together. Paul prophesied about this back in Acts chapter 20. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul knew it. Paul knew it. He warned them. People today aren't listening to that warning. And folks of the day of Pergamos, the church of Pergamos, they didn't listen either. They were tricked by it. At this time, Pergamos was the capital of the Roman government in Asia. Heathenism, idolatry reigned supreme, stronger than ever. Pergamos, which was the center of idolatry and of persecution and the suffering against believers, so it got the name Satan's Seat. Satan's Seat. It also got the name of the city where Satan dwells. Boy, I'm afraid that we could name several cities today, or at least why several churches, because they have so compromised and left the Word of God. Satan had his headquarters in Pergamos, and from there he set out to destroy Christianity all around the world. So the devil does have a throne, and he does dwell right here on earth. He is the God of this world. He is the God of this world. It's so important to stay true to the Word of God. Most folks today stay true to some religion. They believe that whatever they teach is right and correct, and it might be, but it might not be. You need to know the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. Get your old King James Bible out. Stop worrying about all those new versions, whether they're right or wrong or better or easier or whatever. King James is fine. You get the old King James out and you begin to read. And you start reading in John chapter 3 about Nicodemus. You move over to Romans chapter 10, and you begin to read that chapter, especially 9 through 13. Read those verses carefully. They're the whosoever, and that's you, if you'll come. We're in the age of the whosoever. If you'll come by faith to Jesus, he'll take whosoever. No one is exempt. So please, come to the cross of Calvary today. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and will you please come into my heart and save me? He will, and He'll keep you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?